Hey, this is Brian Jum. Welcome to the SAI Million Dollar PDR Podcast. We go over actionable tips that have served my business well over the last 30 years, and hopefully they'll be beneficial to you too.
What's going on, peeps? Brian Jum, podcast, live from the BR, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We are actually recording this Saturday, May 18th. It's about 10:30 a.m. Had a hell of a storm last night here. If you've ever been out to the Midwest where the thunder rocks your spinal, that's what we had last night. It hit so hard, we had birds coming to the front door making squawks that they wanted to come in the house. It was so crazy strong. Sheets of rain. I mean, epic flooding. It's insane. Couldn't believe, I now understand why these houses are about 12 inches in the air. It's because sometimes you get so much water standing around them that it would go right into your house. So everything else is up on stilts. So it's interesting. But today's beautiful. Sun's out. Guns are out. It's probably a nice 75 humidity. You know, the crazy thing is you got all this freaking swampland and gator nuggets floating around everywhere. And there's no bugs. I mean, I'm sure there's bugs here. If we went down to the swamps and shit, I'm sure we'd get eaten alive. But you knock on some wood or whatever you can knock on. The wife and I and the chitlins, we have yet to have a bite, which is just, I get bit more in SoCal than out here in the bayou, which is insane. But it's been fun. I'll give you guys a quick baseball report. If you're not a baseball fan, you can just fast forward. This probably won't take too long. Young son did great on Thursday night. Gave up one bomb, but that was it. And LSU hung tough, and they got the dub over Ole Miss, 5-1. That was a huge win. That pretty much locked him into the SEC tournament, which was my goal for my son. I'm sure he won't stop until he's in Omaha. I mean, that's his goal, which some would say is lofty for this squad. But you know what? Dreamers can dream, and you know what? You can't achieve something unless you go for it. So yeah, SEC tournament, that'll be Tuesday. That's all the SEC teams that qualified. I believe our young Gage, little Juco, will be going on a short rest. So that should be cool. Very excited about that. Other than that, I'm gonna recap this last week here. Actually, it'd be the current week, wouldn't it? Because we're still at Saturday. At the Dentco facilities. We had a lot of nice cars this week. Had a couple Bentleys. We had a Bentley SUV. We had a Bentley convertible. We had a Ferrari come in. These are our clients. These are our people. You know, I always say fish where the fish are big and they bite and they can afford to eat. Well, that's our client. You know, the Toyota Yaris crowd, the 06 Prius people, God love them, but unless they're willing to drop. I mean, we had what year was that Toyota that came in, huh? Like a 92? 92 Toyota pickup truck. We did a G on that guy's truck. So it wasn't like, you know, everybody was pimped out, you know, driving the super lugs. But at the same time, it was the kind of money we need. We've hit our month goal only a little more than 2 weeks in. It's the 18th and I've hit my month numbers. And we still got roughly 2 weeks to go. So I'm beyond hyped. We did have a little hiccup. We transport cars to, and I will tell the truth on this one. We transport cars to an off-site facility where we have our overflow work done. And I believe that another patron on the wonderful, glorious freeways, superhighways of SoCal, kissed this car. We did a complete paint job on. So we had to bring it back, spruce that sucker up, and fix it. If you're going to transport cars off-site, you run that risk. And I know it. It's part of the business model that I'm trying to create a workaround on right now, but that was kind of a little hitch in the get along this week. But other than that, it's been pretty stellar. There has been one other bad thing, which I'll touch on. And this is just a little bit of advice to a lot of you out there that are going to be taking on some insurance work. Never take an adjuster's word as gospel. In other words, if you don't get something in writing, it never happened. So conveniently, we had an adjuster approve us on a Cayenne. We were doing a $6,000 skylight, sky sunroof replacement in the wing, and that was approved. And then it needed a new windshield because you have to take the windshield out to get the sunroof out to get the skylight or sky sunroof out. Well, State Farm adjuster said, Andrew Oldfield said, sure, go right ahead, just submit the supplement. Well, we did that, went ahead and ordered it, and then submitted the supplement. Now Andrew has been transferred out of that department conveniently and doesn't answer my calls, and State Farm's like, oh no, we're not gonna approve that. So I guess I'm supposed to hold the Porsche $3,000 windshield and $1,000 install fee on behalf of State Farm and my client, which really sucks. I could go after my client for that money, but she's Ukrainian and I think she knows about four English words and it would just be nothing but ugliness. So I'm probably just gonna eat the 3G. So what's the lesson here? Never make a move, no matter how much you're trying to service your client, no matter how shitty insurance is going slow, until you have it in writing that's approved. Otherwise, you end up being a sucker like me and you just ate four G's. So anyway, another cool thing that happened that Hunter brought up that reminded me, we get some cool cars that come into the Dentco studios every now and then. We had a really nice black 1968 Porsche 911. What makes it special is the car was cool. It's a soft window target, which is pretty rare. But the human element is what I always go for. And I think that most people that have a good lens of life would understand or agree. It was the original owner who came in with the car. The guy had to be in his 70s if you do some napkin math, and which I'm sure he was. And the car was pretty stellar. It was pretty immaculate. He's taking very good care of it. He's constantly doing shit. He had your typical, you know, a couple tiny little rust spots. He had some door dings. Is he going to be our client? Probably not. Unfortunately, I mean, I gave the guy even a discount. I mean, it was right around Hunter helped me write the sheet. It was probably $1,000 worth of dents going all around the car from, you know, 60, 70 years worth of damage. And, you know, he's on a fixed income and he probably thought, oh, you know, it's going to be $100, $200. You know, we even had a wealthy lady come in this week who's got, they bounced between SoCal Beach House and Montana at their rich Montana house at Jackson Hole. And when we told him it was $575 to do a pearl white bumper blend on a 4Runner, she's like, wow, that's super expensive for such a small little repair. And I'm just like, you know, I don't know, maybe you're used to buying $1,000 bottles of wine, but, you know, painting a bumper in 2024 is not $100 anymore. So anyway, she was stoked, but yet, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, going back to Mr. Porsche guy, let's call him Bob Porsche. He hasn't booked yet. And unfortunately, I'm not trying to think negs, but I think he's probably, if he does it, he's going to go with us. I have that feeling. Maybe that's my ego talking, but at the same time, I don't think it's within his realm of budget. He's just going to drive that beesh the way it is. So anyway, so we got a little treat on this episode out here at the BR. I tried to get a live gator, but I was unable to do so. It ran away. So we did see a gator, though, luckily, thanks to Adrian and his scouting on the freeway. But we do have Adrian Aguilar, salon stylist extraordinaire, business owner, husband, and just overall great guy. He is very charismatic. He's got some superpowers, and his customer service skills are 10 out of 10. And I say that without any jest. I mean, that is definitely his superpower. Here, bringing it over here a little bit because of the mic. Okay, we don't have a good mic. So we had Adrian on maybe a month and a half ago, I think. And we're circling back because Adrian's got a little bit of water under the bridge. He's been able to kind of think about his goals. And so we're going to circle back and talk to Adrian. Adrian, kind of tell us, kind of for those that didn't hear the episode, just recap real quickly your background, what you kind of business you run, and talk about the current state of affairs.
Okay, so I operate and own a salon business. Been working from my house from about a year and a half, and it's been an awesome transition from a private studio that I was at in Chino Hills.
So you built your own salon at the house?
Yeah, built my own salon at the house. So I work from home, no commute, super easy. And it's nice. It's like I provide like a nice, like intimate setting for my clients. Mm-hmm. But now that I've been working there for a year and a half, I want to kind of just level up, and I'm starting to realize that the area I'm in isn't like necessarily like the best area where I can make the most.
The demographic.
100%. So I'm in Pomona, and now I'm thinking about, I don't know, I'm thinking about OC, like Newport area.
So Pomona, give for those people who don't live in SoCal, give people perspective, like the demo.
Demo's like, I mean, I think your average income is like somewhere around 30, 40 grand a year. Just a lot of like blue collar workers and mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a lot of corporate money?
Not corporate money at all. Definitely not. So Yeah, so I'm literally just trying to figure out like my next move.
Mm-hmm. Your next chess move. We've spitballed it a little bit and gone over some ideas. You've got a lot of different cards you can play. Yes. You can't play them all, obviously, so you hope to. And it's okay to play a card and miss.
Yeah. And as of right now, I mean, like, I work Monday through Friday, so on the weekends, I have a renter that uses my studio.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been nice, like, just some passive income.
Sure.
But now I'm realizing, like, maybe I can just rent my entire studio out throughout the week and mm-hmm. then possibly start building a clientele in OC.
Right. And he's saying OC, like, down by the coast, like Newport Beach, Irvine area, for those of you that may or may not know those cities. I mean, if you're going to focus, he's basically in SoCal. He's probably got two demographics that would give him the highest net yield. I mean, fishing after the wealthy or the people who have, you know, high discretionary income. Number one would be LA, specifically like the BH, Beverly Hills, or the Valley, you know, Encino, Westlake, all that area up there, Sherman Oaks.
Exactly.
Although, and he's been up there before, so he knows that he's worked for other salons. You know Beverly Hills. I mean, what was that like when you were there?
It was fun, but I do feel like it was very competitive and extremely, like, saturated. Mm-hmm. So you really have to just be good at what you do mm-hmm. and stand out in other ways. But yeah, I mean, I grew up in OC, so I'm kind of just biased towards the down south. So
yeah, and you and growing up here, Adrian understands the demographic. He understands the speak, the words, the mindset. He knows how to connect with his clients, both in what they would call the Inland Empire versus Orange County. And so the closest, easiest, and safest, and all the ticking all the right boxes is probably going to be South Orange County, Newport, Irvine area. I mean, the average income is probably going to be, I'm going to say, at least $300,000 to $400,000,
yeah.
you know, per household. So a lot more money that people can drop on a hair color and cut.
Yeah, I feel like if I just place myself there, that's already like winning like half the battle, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, I mean that. You know, I mean, he can either, where he's at, try to do more volume mm-hmm. to try to make up for the lack of fat fish in the pond that he's fishing in, you know, or raise prices, but you're probably going to get resistance.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely will. Those aren't the type of clients that are willing to pay that. So I just would rather place myself in an area that kind of values what I do as well, you know,
right.
and is willing to pay like top dollar.
Right. Imagine if you had $1,000 in your bank account and... You know, you hit up the person to spend $100 on a haircut, let's just say. Like, we were watching a video of this guy and working out of a mobile barber van in Miami, and he averages $150 to $200. And that's not for a color, that's just a cut.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's pointed his arrows at the Indians that have the most money out in that demo. Well, it's the same thing. If you fish, let's say, in Pomona for the average person who just doesn't have the money, they're expecting a hell of a lot more for 10% of their net worth versus the guy that's got $1 million or $10 million in the bank.
Exactly.
And you're at $100 or $200.
Yeah. So it just makes sense. Like,
yeah. Yeah, for sure. What would you imagine? Because I know your mom's worked those areas. She's still a stylist, my wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and her client demo is not Newport, but it's definitely, you know, I'd say middle upper income. What do you think of the deliverables? What would be something that might be a difference between that client in Newport versus Pomona?
The difference? I would say, let's see.
Like expectations or the way that you might treat them a little differently. Because you're going to be charging higher prices, of course.
Yeah, so I think it kind of starts from the very beginning, as soon as they walk in that door. So I think overall just providing a really good experience.
Right.
I think just going above and beyond for mm-hmm. that client.
More than they expect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just delivering. And right. And just, yeah, quality work.
Yeah. And you have touch points. Obviously, they reach out. If it's a new client, you do what? I think it's a consultation, right?
Yeah, consultation.
Walk us through that. What's a consultation like?
So it's basically a breakdown of what the client is expecting, like what she wants. And then just kind of being able to, like, I guess I go with, like, under-promising and over-delivering in my,
Amen.
You know,
yeah,
in my experience. So, yeah, just thorough consultations, figuring out, like, you know, how to get to the end result, and then just delivering it with overall just, you know, a great experience for that person.
And your service menu, cutting, colors, anything else, is that pretty much it?
Treatments, like Brazilian blowout treatments.
Nice.
Yeah, so I like those, you know, it's an add-on for on top of your cutting clients.
And a lot of the guys on this podcast probably have no idea what a Brazilian is. Can you break it down, what that is for a woman mostly?
Yeah, so it's basically like a smoothing treatment for like people that have like really like frizzy hair and mm-hmm. like unruly hair.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want to kind of just have like an easier process in the morning to like not have to do their hair as much. So like wash and go. Yeah. Wash and go style.
Right.
So that treatment, like those are really popular.
What do they run on average?
Anywhere between like $200 to $350.
Nice. Yeah. How long does it take?
An hour and a half. Maybe if they have really long, thick hair, 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. And how often do they need to do it if they want to maintain?
Every 3 months.
That's not bad.
Yeah, every 3 months. A lot of people like to get them before they go on like a vacation where maybe the humidity's,
Or special event, maybe a wedding.
Exactly.
Or, yeah, yeah, of
course. So yeah, I mean, definitely, that's something I've been at least thinking about.
Right. So the idea, the thought is, and nothing mentioned, nothing gained. I mean, mm-hmm. So I guess the risk is if you started, I guess you could just cut back your clientele, right? Just do it like part-time or whatever. Mm-hmm. Start subbing out your salon to somebody else maybe a couple of days a week.
Yeah.
Like a Tuesday, Thursday or whatever. You retain just your best of your best clients if you wanted to.
Do you think I should hand off those clients to like someone I maybe like train? Like
You could, but just it's like a transitory thing. I would try to either, I don't know if you're going to go rent a chair at another salon down in the Noops, Newport or Irvine, or if you were going to just do your own, just rent a spot, you know?
I think, I mean, like, you'd either probably rent a station somewhere or you'd find a salon where they do a commission-based salon. So where it's right. Like, yeah, they'll take a percentage off every service.
Right.
But they're not charging you rent. So I think that I'd be more inclined to doing that just because I haven't established a clientele yet in that area.
And that's the toughest thing.
Yeah, but once I do, I would switch over to, just renting and just, you know.
Right, and be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even if it's in the same area, you don't have to stay at that exact particular place.
Exactly.
You could go a mile away to a different place, and those people, they're going to still follow you to that. So really the hinge to this, because you have the expertise, mm-hmm. you have the products, you have everything you need, it's just about upping the client base.
Yeah, honestly, and it favors me just now. I'm thinking about it just because I don't think it would take that long to build an entire like a good clientele.
Right.
Right. I have you guys. You guys, we could cross promote whatever. Like.
Yeah, we could try to send you people. I mean, I could. People that come to the Denko facility are only 5 miles away from potentially where you bless you.
Sorry.
5 miles that would be away from where you're at. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that could help. And then your mom, if she knows some people out there
as
well.
Yeah, the marketing, all that stuff. So I just feel right. like it can be done for sure.
Yeah. And just for the listeners, what's your age?
34 years old.
34 years old. He's young, you know, relatively young. You have the expertise that you're still youthful. You don't mind busting ass, working 12-hour days, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
No kids right now. So it's just you and the wife. So you're in grind mode right now. You're in the money making mode. You're trying to build up your financial stability and wealth. So maybe in your later years you can kind of back it off a little bit.
Exactly. I think long term.
So. Right. Yeah. So rent out your studio potentially, mm-hmm. full time or part time.
Mm-hmm.
Get down into the OC like you said, where the money, where the fish are swimming. More big fish are swimming and they're easier to catch.
Yeah.
And they're willing to spend more.
I have nothing to lose right now because I'm not paying rent. So it's just, you know.
Right.
So now is the time it would be perfect timing to do it.
Yeah. As long as you don't walk away, if you just didn't shut down the faucet, mm-hmm. you know, which pays your mortgage, which is, you know, Adrian just bought a house, like you said, a year and a half, 2 years ago. You know, I mean, your wife, although she works, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure you guys still need your income.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing you need to be cognizant of. Right, yeah. right. And then once that happens. So what would you get if you had to just estimate the timeline, the time horizon to go from zero to hero, to get to a point where you're like, okay, I can, you know, turn back the afterburners on the jet, you know, in your marketing. How long do you think it would take for you to get just a base core level of clients in this area?
I think if I really like just honed in, I think I could do it in like 3 to 6 months.
That's hauling ass. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Like client, yeah. I mean, like it's weird. Like when I was working in LA, I felt like it took me years to build a clientele.
Right.
It took me a long time. And maybe just I wasn't as good back in the day or like.
You were young.
I was young.
Fresh
right?
out of school.
Just trying to like navigate my way. When I moved to Chino Hills, I felt like I built a clientele in like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like now that I'm older and I kind of know what I'd have to do, I feel like I could do it in like, 6 months. You know?
Right.
Six months to a year probably.
That's good. Yeah. Just off the cuff, and we didn't talk about this, and I don't mean to hit you blindside. Just give the listener some ideas of some of the marketing ideas besides networking.
Okay.
I mean, obviously myself, your mom, anybody you know that's in those areas that you could try to use as leverage, old relationships, friends, family. Besides the networking effect, what other things do you think that you would do to try to, aside from maybe if you were at a salon that had walk-ins, let's just say you're in there and nobody's walking by, what are the, some of the tools of marketing you think that you might be able to employ?
I'd probably hit straight, like I'd go for Yelp, I'd go for Google, like really hone in on those reviews, right? Like, I definitely would go at that for like full throttle. Honestly, I kind of would like, just go to like these local coffee shops and like talk to people. And like, I feel like maybe that's not done as much in these days.
Yeah, grassroots. So I like just it. Guerrilla.
Like, yeah, guerrilla marketing. So like, I feel like I just get out there, talk to people, let them know that, you know, I'm working here and just offer them a free cut. Like, it's not like I'm paying product. Like, I would offer them like, literally just my time. Like,
yeah, no, that's good.
And then just kind of build from there. Hopefully it would just snowball.
Who do you think, who do you imagine it would be your ideal avatar, your best client? Who's like... the number one, and it's probably going to be a woman, obviously.
Woman, I'd say like mid-30s to like early 40s. I would say probably shops at Whole Foods, like your, you know, goes to these, does Pilates, does yoga, like, and I would say those would be like my dad, my demographic.
And she's obviously got gray.
She's got gray, exactly, because, you want them to come in every like 4 weeks.
Yeah, frequent. If they don't have gray, if they're pre-30s. Yeah. If they're 20 to 35 and they haven't gone gray yet, that's not as advantageous of somebody who's got temple graying where you can at least do touch-ups and they've got to be in every month. But otherwise, they feel like ass.
Yeah, exactly. You want it repetitive. So that would be my ideal.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Let me ask you another question kind of off the subject, because this is something I've always admired about what you and your mom and all the other stylists. I mean, us in the car repair world, we talk about how personal a car is and the impact and the sensitivity. But I think it's a whole nother level that you guys either stress or just the sensitivity. You're dealing with somebody's personal being. You're dealing with their hair, the way they look and feel about themselves. It doesn't get much more impactful, you know.
Personal,
Right. I mean, how do you deal with that stress and walking the person through that journey to happiness?
That's a good question, because you're not going to, like, please every single person. But I do my best job to make that happen. I think you just like, I don't know, you kind of find that common ground with people and you talk to them, you listen. Honestly, it comes down to listening, at least in my experience, right?
Yeah.
So it's like people love to talk about themselves and you kind of just like, you make that happen, right? You're an ear, you listen, and then it's almost like some validation. And I do my best job to just kind of connect with these clients, because I don't know, it's just like, I enjoy that. Like I like talking to people. I like to know. Like,
and you're really good at it. Yeah, no, people are listening. Probably could already tell that you've got good energy and you listen and you know how to. You're really good at charming people and building them up, feeling good about themselves. Mm-hmm. Your mom was telling me a story. I mean, it happens. It happens in my business. You know, where we just don't deliver for whatever reason. And the thing that was tough for your mom's situation recently was not so much that she dropped the ball. It's that the client just couldn't communicate with her and tell her what she wanted. She's like, very wishy-washy, right? Mm-hmm. I might go this way. It's almost like sometimes you have to steer people to the finish line.
Yeah, absolutely. It happens from time to time, you know? And so,
I mean, somebody comes in, maybe they've got a picture off of Vogue. They want to look like, you know, Giselle or whatever, but maybe that's not possible. Or they're like, I don't even know what I want. What do you suggest? And that's kind of firing, kind of blind sometimes.
Yeah, and that's why you got to ask those questions to know what...
Okay, sorry about that. We got cut off, guys. So what Adrian was talking about was like when things might go rogue, when a customer doesn't really know what they want. Go ahead and pick it back up.
Yeah, and saying basically like if you don't know what they want, that's where you kind of come in and ask those questions so you can kind of like navigate where, you know, where you want to end up and what they eventually would like. So what I was telling Brian is that now like these clients are coming in with these like AI generated like unrealistic expectations from Pinterest where the color is like absolutely perfect, like flawless. And it's like, you gotta, you know, be realistic with this and tell them like, you know, you can do a version of that, but it's not gonna be identical.
Right.
And that's just what it is, you know, like.
Yeah. So. Thank God you know that. You imagine the new styles coming out and people, like you said, coming in with an AI print.
Yeah. It's just like, it's too perfect. And it's just, it's just not.
They don't realistic. Have the right hair. It's not gonna lift the same
texture,
way.
Yeah, texture, exactly. Everything plays a big factor in it, so.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I hope we can circle back maybe in 3 to 6 months. Yeah. We'll see if you and the wife decide to play that card, you know, and go off into the wild blue yonder and try fishing in a better fishing hole.
Yes.
You know, going after where the big money is. I mean, you know, I was watching a podcast earlier today, as a matter of fact, but I've been barking about this, but other people are saying the same thing. It's much easier to make money off the wealthy than it is trying to make a little bit of money off of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, if exactly. you can go where the people have the money and you understand the clientele, so does your mom. I mean, yes. Your mom, I would guess, probably has, I mean, wealthy clients is probably maybe 20% of the people that she deals with. And then above average, I'd say, is probably another 60 or 70 with middle below. And a lot of times those clients who don't have the money.
And you just got to, yeah, you got to switch that. You got to
flip it. Yeah, you got to flip the script. They just don't. They really aren't going to be long term. So. Yeah,
and there's enough people out there, so it's just,
well, there is. Yeah. That's it. The competition don't really matter. I mean, there's only one Adrian.
Yeah,
you know. So, awesome. Well, I appreciate you. You coming on the pod, AD.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll update you guys.
Thank you. All right, guys. That was Adrian Aguilar from Adrian Aguilar Salon out of Pomona, and you kind of got his perspective on how to focus after wealthy clients, and I think that transcends any business, whether if you're, you know. A remodel guy, or maybe an arborist, or I mean, I'm in auto body. I mean, you know, we can try to service everybody, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't work. Especially when a lot of our clients are cash pay, we're not really doing a lot of insurance. We have to market towards people that have the money. So there it is, guys. We're gonna cut it short here, or pretty much on time. I appreciate you listening. We're gonna head out to the last game for LSU here on Saturday. Gonna catch a couple hours before we head off to New Orleans MSY Airport to fly back to LAX. Wish the Tigers well. Go Tigers. Let's hope they get the sweep today on Ole Miss. And then we will, like I said, we'll reconnect with Adrian in a few months to find out how he does and if he's able to switch areas. And that's something that even, you know, a paintless dent guy could do. If he's working in an area where he just knows it's not him or her, it's the demo, it's just a weak demo, you know, the discretionary income, it's just not there, or the nice cars or whatever, and people just don't value it. Sometimes you got to move. Sometimes you, if you're willing to build your business and you want more, sometimes the demographics just got to be better. You know, like the guy that was running the mobile hair van, the barber who was getting $200 haircuts in East Miami. Is he going to get that in Cedar Rapids? I'm going to say probably not. You know? So there it is, guys. The demographic matters. That's the lesson here. And then, you know, going after the upper income, you know, market. I think that's just so much easier than trying to be the Walmart of X, right? So there it is. Thanks so much for tuning in. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Comments are always welcome and encouraged. 949-302-3464 or catch me on the gram, DentCoPDR. Love you guys. We'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye for now.